This is an international podcast transmission. Is anyone out there? If you're listening, you've reached the No Fixed Agenda podcast.
Yeah, man, I feel good. Had a couple of days with my parents after Hyrox, which was awesome. That's why I wanted to jump on this and talk about Hyrox really quick, because Hyrox is kind of in the news a little bit, not for all the good ways.
In horrible ways. A matter of fact, to the point where people are, I think I've had the Hyrox controversy conversation at least five times since we came in back.
Yeah, it's, there was a lot of positive with it. Let's just get that out.
Do you want to go with the positives first, or do you want to go with the controversy first?
Positives was good. I think the setup, the energy, obviously was really good with Worlds. There was a ton of people from all over the world that showed up and came into this thing. I think
the walkout was amazing.
The walkout was cool. I think they're doing some stuff that makes it more intriguing to want people to actually come and participate at Worlds. Overall, the grand scheme of things is great. Like, I think Navy Pier was a great selection.
It was beautiful, dude.
As far as the world stage of it, I think the coverage, you know, the live coverage of all of the elite races, I thought was really good.
They had like 6,000 or anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 viewers in the live streams,
dude. It was cool. Like, I think... That in itself shows that there is, I think if they're trying to go to an Olympic.
Which is officially, they put that
direction, right? They're trying to go that direction. I think there needs to be proof of concept that it can be televised relatively easy, which they did.
They did very well.
Which also helped capture some stuff that judges didn't catch. The Hunter pushing situation and stuff, right? That was caught on camera. Like,
So Hunter, somebody sent me Hunter does his own podcast, right? And he used to be talking about, he was doing his own podcast and he saw a video that he was talking about in his podcast. And it was a running sport. I think it was either triathlon or something like that. But the video that he was talking about, and it was basically clip of a guy running and he shoved the other competitors. Very similar to what Hunter did. And so this was weeks before Chicago. So did he get the idea from that? I don't know.
I honestly, you look at that video and it looks like he just intentionally pushed him out of the way, right? Now, what it doesn't say is that athlete was also swerving to and from in front of
Several times
in front of Hunter and a couple other competitors. So I don't know. I'm honestly with Hunter on it, to be honest with you. Like, there is nothing wrong with a little competitive nudge on that. Did he get pushed into the wall? Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, honestly, man, like, if you're going to sit there and do that as somebody who's competing for first place in the world, I don't see anything wrong.
$16,000 purse.
I don't see nothing really wrong with it.
Yeah.
Honestly, suck it up and get over it.
I was talking about the clip that Hunter did in his podcast, and he ironically said there needs to be more of this in competitive sports. And so maybe he created that, right? Just so that he can kind of create the controversy in the eyes.
Maybe. Hunter's not stupid.
Oh, he's not. He's not. He's arrogant. But he's not
stupid. He knows how to play the game. And honestly, he's not apologizing for anything that he did. When it's all said and done, they have talked it out. They've got a good relationship, from my understanding. Yeah. So, but it's competitive fucking nature, man. Like, honestly, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of, nudging going on.
Well, I think he did apologize. He sent out when Hyrox came out with the statement, before Hyrox came out with the statement, Hunter beat everybody to the punch and basically said, I've already apologized. We've had a conversation. It's water under the bridge. So he was trying to do damage control out the gate, right? But I truly think Hunter was trying to talk to Jeremy and kind of like smooth things out in hopes that, you know, that nothing was going to happen and he was going to impact the rest of the Team USA in that relay team. But High Rocks came out with a different decision, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, positive notes, I think overall, great event. From the negatives, I think the biggest thing that people are talking about is the turf.
Yeah.
As a High Rocks coach, I want to get your opinion on what went wrong with the turf that you saw. It's definitely not the sleds. The sleds were not the issue. The sleds were all regulated to what they should have been. It was definitely the turf.
Friction is a hard thing to manage in those kind of environments.
It is.
Mm. Even simulating the same friction in a simulation in my gym has been proven to be one of my biggest challenges. And so I've purposely chose to go above by 100 pounds nearly in my sleds for that reason alone, because I want to mimic the most difficult environment that there will be faced in a real life race.
Yeah.
And it worked for our athletes.
Right.
What also worked was, I don't agree with High Rock's statement that it was the sleds. I was there when that came out. We were there.
Yeah.
They were turning the sleds over and like filling out the bottom of the sleds. If you remember, they took a couple plates off.
Yep.
They looked at it and they were like, you know, and they were looking at the bottom of the sleds and their statement was bullshit 100%. Yeah. And I love the sport of High Rocks, but it really was the turf. And that's the first thing I look at as a coach when I'm preparing my athletes, when I go to a High Rocks race, whether it be Anaheim, Dallas, it doesn't matter where I'm at. The first thing I'm walking to is two things. The first two things is the layout and the turf or the rug, right? Because it was rug before.
Yep.
And immediately I knew how to coach my people from that point on, because if you look at a rug back in the day before it was rug, you could see the rug was really worn down. You knew the sleds were going to move easy.
Yeah.
But if it was a brand new rug, the sleds were going to be sticky. That's what I went to go look at after I looked at the layout and saw the layout was just old school High Rocks, where it was like one was one side of the spectrum and seven was on the other side of the spectrum. Yeah. And it was like that is challenging in itself, because you lose where you're at in the race if you're tired, right? And yep. So trying to coach my athletes through that was a huge challenge. The other challenge was the turf. One side of the turf was really soft. And the other side of the turf, the video that everybody's talking about, where the guy was like pushing the sled really hard on one side, and then he pushed the sled on the other side, and it was really easy.
Yeah.
The turf on the side that was really hard was really soft, and the sled sunk into the turf, where on the other side, it was not that soft. If for whatever... the cushioning was not off, whatever center did.
I think that's my problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you can definitely tell that they're, even though High Rocks has been around since 2019,
mm-hmm.
they're going through some growing pains and they're trying to figure out some 100. Stuff still, right? And that's the nature of it. They're trying to continue to move technology forward and the sport forward by, you know, standardizing whatever. What I don't think they did correctly is bringing in brand new turf that nobody has ever used, that they have never used.
Mm-hmm. On that stage. Yeah.
So here's my thing. It's like you've used the same turf the entire year, mm-hmm. the entire last 5 years or whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you decide to work with Center and get brand new turf that's branded. And it's, it looks pretty for the world championships, but nobody's even used it. No elites you've used it. No events have used it. The judges haven't really seen it. And all of a sudden now you go into this, it's a little soft here. It's not as soft there. You've got, and it's also based on what's underneath the floor. Like what's on the concrete itself.
Mm-hmm.
Did they fill in some gaps with the concrete? Mm-hmm. Right. And so you have to factor in some of that shit too. And it's
the pier building was old.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so, you know, that floor is not level.
No, hell no, it's not.
It's on a fucking pier, dude.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
It's definitely not level. And that's the thing. I guess to me, I'm like, if I was Hyrox, I would have just been like, listen, let's just use what we've been using from a turf perspective.
Yeah.
Through the World Championships. Mm-hmm. New season starts, you know, the week after, 2 weeks after, whatever it is. Okay, now here you go. Here is the new turf that we're going to use the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Give everybody a chance to compete on that and let the higher ups take a look at it and see what's going on with it. Have some of your head judges look at it. That's the biggest thing.
I think it was a marketing ploy because.
Oh, yes.
You saw 6 months ago, they were talking about this turf, dude. All of us, all his affiliates got the email like, oh, Center's coming out with its own thing. And I was one of those people that got like the Center's wall ball shoots. And I was like, I'm going to go spend some money on some Center sleds because the sleds are really different. That Simulus is different. Now there was like, oh, the turf. I'm going through like a little bit of a remodel in my gym right now. I go, maybe I'll go buy some Center turf. But I chose not to because when I went to go do that before, the quality of the product that I got from Center was not the best.
Yeah.
And so I think they were trying to use the stage of World Champions to promote that, and it backfired on them.
Yeah.
And then they doubled down with their statement, dude.
Oh, they did.
They doubled down with their fucking statement. Like they were like, nope, it was not the turf. It was the sleds. We knew that the sleds was this and that. And I was like, ooh, you know what that tells me is like they're going to this is what they're going to be using now. I think it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. I will be buying Center turf because I think that Stimulus is going to be very hard to beat or to mimic or simulate as a Hyrox affiliate to my athletes and see. I mean, but it's kind of sucks, dude, because it ain't cheap.
No,
the fucking turf ain't cheap.
Did you see? Speaking of the wall ball, so did you see that the counters also went off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then they had, at one point in time, I saw a video at one point in time, and I don't know what category it was, whether it was Elite 15s or if it was a regular men's pro category. The wall ball counter went off, and there ended up being like seven people at the wall balls, and all the judges stepped away to figure out what the hell was going on.
Nobody was fucking counting wall balls.
There was two judges for like one or two people at the very end, and everybody else was counting their own wall balls.
Eesh.
And then they
2, 4, 6, 8.
So yeah, oh yeah. So that was the other thing too. It's like, fuck, man. Like, how is that shit gonna, you know, look too? Like, I don't know. I think that's what sucks is you start getting these comparisons of Hyrox versus CrossFit and people are, you know, like, oh, well, CrossFit this and that. And then Hyrox, like, can't even get their shit together because of the equipment stuff. It's I don't know. And again, technology. So you're going to have the little tweaks and stuff like that. Because even the pads that the judges were using.
Went dark
as well.
Oh.
So something happened with their system that it just completely capped out for like, I don't think it was for very long, but 2 minutes on wall balls is a.
That's 50, 60 wall balls.
Yeah, man. That's easy. Exactly. 2, 4, 6, 8. Like you said, it's like, I don't know.
I think after that happened, I started seeing all the judges. I saw an influx of judges at the wall ball stations. And they all had the manual counters in their pocket. Yeah. And just I noticed it because they were running around and the fucking counters were coming out of their pockets. And so anyhow, it's just like anything else, man. Bliss posted a video of us doing Hyrox because they asked her, one of her clients asked her if she ever done a Hyrox. She's like, yeah, like original racer, right? And so we did in 2019 when they first came to California in Pasadena. And just to see the evolution of the sport from 2019 to 2025 is a beautiful thing, man. But the bigger the stage, the more scrutiny there's going to be.
Yes, and Hyrox is going to have to figure that out.
Yep.
I mean, CrossFit's been dealing with that shit for years.
Yep.
How, you know, scrutinized they are for X, Y, and Z, and especially from last year's perspective, like as Hyrox gets even larger and more grandiose from a world stage and televised, and it is, everybody's going to be nitpicking everything with it. And is it overall? I think they did a great job. Like I feel bad for some of those athletes that had the unfortunate, you know, scenario with the sleds or the wall balls or whatever, because it puts a fucking bad taste in your mouth.
It's just like anything else. When I coach, as a coach, man, I mean, fuck you. I've coached you through a high rocks too. I mean, you tell your athletes, man, it doesn't matter if you get no repped. It doesn't matter if you got done wrong on the course. Really what matters is how you respond to it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's all that fucking matters. Cause you can sit there and argue with the judge and do what that guy did in the video. He didn't help his time.
No. I mean,
he did not help his time.
No.
He did not help. He did not get a better outcome to his race by doing what he did.
Yeah.
Right. And so everybody knows, everybody would have known that the sleds were different because we would have all been talking about it anyways. Right.
Yeah.
But, and so like, you just got to go through it and just be like, well, yeah, I mean, shit, dude, I tell my athletes all the time, if you get a no rep on a wall ball, man, guess what? You just keep fucking doing, don't count the rep, right? You can't fucking sit there and argue with the damn judge.
Yeah.
Doesn't do anything. I think going back to all of that, there's always going to be something in some form of sport, man. It's just going to be. Boxing has been doing it for freaking centuries now, dude. Boxing's been that way for a long time now. The Olympics, same thing, right? Any sport is going to have some form of controversy. And if you're an athlete, all you got to do is respond to it, man.
Yeah.
That's it. How you respond to it matters, period. And if you want to argue with it, you're not going to get a better time. It's not going to change you. Some of those things were wrong. But at the end of the day, man, I mean, I think our athletes responded. I think Josh was the one that got some of those bad sleds.
Oh, Josh, I think Josh totally got a bad sled.
Yeah.
Bad section of carpet.
Bad section of carpet, right.
Not a bad sled. We've already made this.
Yeah, so Josh, I mean, and then Lily did not.
Neither did Cy and Laura.
Lily and Cy and Laura benefited from the easier carpet, right, or the more accurate carpet, section of carpet. And Josh really felt defeated. It really impacted him. And all I did was coach him through that.
Yeah.
And he was very defeated and it hurt him, right? Yeah. But he just turned around and looked at it and again focused on what he could focus in on and finished his damn race.
Is there anything again as a Hyrox affiliate and as a coach to some of the athletes that were there, is there anything that you saw that you wish Hyrox would make the adjustment to, or that there was anything that was kind of off a little bit more, like whatever it is, you know, the way judges looked at some of the athletes or the way, you know, they did something on course, whatever. Mm. Is there anything that you noticed that you were just like, God damn it, I wish that they would just do this?
Well, the first thing that I noticed that I think they would have just kept it that way, and I get it. I mean, I planned several events in my day from like, you know, trade shows and stuff like that. So I get it. Each facility is different. They did a phenomenal job throughout the season to standardize the damn layout of the facility of the race.
Mm, yeah.
And they went back to back and forth.
Yeah.
I wish they would have just kept it that way and dealt with it and figured out a better way to do that. And I understand they probably dump it. I get there's a lot of variables in it, but if you're on the world stage, man, I think they would have, that was the first thing that stood out to me, like, fuck.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done this better.
What I thought was interesting is the way they did the laps.
Mm.
4-2-2-3. I'm sorry, but how many athletes, when it's all said and done.
Lily almost lost it.
Yeah. Fuck that shit up. Where it's like, okay, you have to run 4 laps on the first time around or 3 laps. On the, and then it's all, and it's 2s. Mm-hmm. And then the last one, it's 3 or 4, whatever it was.
It was 4-2-2-2-2-2-3.
Yeah.
And it's like,
why?
Like
if you're deep into it, as any athlete will tell you, when you're deep into it, trying to sit there and count how many times you've gone by a specific section to, you know, to like, oh, I need to go in now. Like, fuck, like, I'm sorry, but why was that not made a little bit easier?
That goes back to the layout. Right. And, but that also depended on the coach and the athlete. Goes back to the preparation. Like, Hyrox does a really good job of communicating things ahead of time.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think when I sat down with Lily, when I sat down with Cy and Laura, when I sat down with Josh, it was like, what are the mental reps? Like, how many times you're going to go around? How many times you're going to see the end before you go in? Three. How many times you're going to, what's your run pace going to be? Like, we went through every single thing that the plan was and had a backup plan to everything before they even stepped on the course, man.
Yeah.
And so, like, yeah, it's that it goes back to the layout. I wish they would have done it differently. I wish they would have kept to the other thing that I think they would have done, they should have done differently, and they have addressed it, is that all these athletes, the one thing that I saw as a coach, and it was so disheartening to see these athletes who had never touched pro weight go into this thing and at that stage and compete at a pro level when they qualified as an open athlete.
Yeah.
That was disheartening, dude. Like, yeah, they've since then fixed it, right?
That's changed.
Now you can only qualify as a pro athlete to Worlds if you're a pro athlete.
Right.
Right. And so, but that was a big, like, again, to your statement about the turf, like, don't roll the turf out at that world stage. Like, let these athletes compete as open athletes, because that's what they've been competing at.
Yeah.
Right. We were blessed to have like 3 months, I think, to get Josh, who qualified as an open athlete, to the pro level. But his frame, I had to put 5 pounds of weight on his body.
Yeah.
And
he was definitely one of the smaller.
Yeah, he was like, dude, he looked like a midget, man.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, dude, and I was very proud of his effort, dude.
Yeah.
I was very proud of all of our athletes' effort. Lily has been competing as a pro athlete the whole season. She qualified as a pro athlete. Cy and Laura, there's no pro division for mixed doubles. So they had no changes. And it shows. Josh qualified as an open athlete, got one pro race in.
Yep.
I've been training them as a pro athlete. But there's only so much work you can do to prep an athlete within 2 to 3 months for that stage to compete next to other pro athletes, dude.
Yeah.
And I think that was pretty shitty in Hyrox's.
Yeah, and I'm glad they've changed that.
Yeah.
I don't think it's honestly not very fair either for somebody who has been competing pro, right, at events that didn't qualify, but yet you have somebody who's competing as an open that did qualify in your place.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was a little bit strange to the way they did that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that they have adjusted that and made it a little bit more sectioned out. So it's like, listen, you want to compete for pro, you have to race pro.
Oh, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I want to make sure we like the everything. You asked me like what I think Hyrox would have done. Those are the two major things, was the layout. Obviously, the turf, you can't do anything about that. But then the other one is that whole qualification aspect was huge. The good parts about it. I want to end on a good with them.
Yeah.
Like, Hyrox has created an environment where everyday Joes can compete at an elite level. They're the one of the few sports that haven't been able to do that, in my opinion. And I love that about them, right? And they made our athletes feel like superstars with the walkout, with how they prepped them in. They got a free fitness tracker, dude. If you qualify for Worlds, you got a free fitness tracker for life.
Which is cool.
For life, bro.
Yeah.
Which is freaking amazing, man. Like, there's a lot of good things that they did for the athletes that they did very, very, very well. So I commend Hyrox for that. And I also wanted to, like, take a quick moment to talk about our athletes, our OTH athletes. I could not have been prouder than from the prep work to the way they were eating to their sleeping patterns, everything. Everybody thinks that what happens on race day is a result of what happened on race day for all of our athletes was a result of everything they had done for months and months and months prior to their dedication to things, man, the dedication to the nutrition, dedication to the training, dedication to the sleep, dedication to the recovery, dedication to the run and all of the other accessory work they had to get done, dude. It was legit. I could not have been prouder as a coach for my athletes for them, dude. It was freaking amazing.
Yeah, it was cool to see that scale. And there was a moment that I caught at Hyrox when somebody actually recognized you.
Oh yeah,
as an individual or as a coach to the athletes.
Yeah,
And I think that in itself, it shows what you have been doing for the sport.
Yeah.
And just the coaching aspect and the awareness of your athletes and everything else. It was really cool to see him come up and say, "Hey, you're Omar, right? From Omo."
I was like, it was definitely emotional. I cried four times that weekend, and everybody knows I'm easy to cry, but that was one of them. As somebody who pours blood, sweat, and tears into our community, into our athletes, into everything that I do for our community, it is like the biggest freaking form of pay that I could ever get to hear. A complete stranger that is from Chicago, that has never seen our community in person, come up to me and say, "You're Omar, and I love what you are promoting for fitness. I love what you're doing for the sport. I love the positivity in your videos and all that stuff." Was very powerful. The other one that was very emotional for me was Lily. Lily is jokingly, somebody said in our community that she must have been an Aztec warrior in a previous life. You know? But I met Lily 3 years ago, and she was so afraid to compete in a local epic event, right, where she was like strongman stuff. And she called me and said, and I was judging at this event. And she said, "Well, you know, I want him as my judge because of who I am, I guess, or what she saw in me." And she thought for a minute that I was, cause she thought she had asked you if I was going to be there. And you said you didn't know I was going to be there. And I had committed to that I was going to be there. And she thought for a minute that I wasn't going to be there. And she's like, "I can't do this race without him there." And to watch her be like 18th in the world from 3 years ago, being somebody who didn't even think they'd get to a local race, was fucking amazing, man. It was very meaningful to me as a coach to see that, to be a part of that, to coach her through that. We were in the same Airbnb and she was like, to dot the T's, cross the I's, everything that could have been done was done. And we looked at herself. She looked at me after the race and said, "There's nothing else that I could have done better." And I said, "As a coach, no. Can't fucking ask for anything more."
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
Like, I didn't care if she came in last place. If she looked at me in the face and said the same thing, I couldn't be prouder.
Yeah.
Right. And Cy and Laura, the same thing, man. They just, they're commendable athletes in themselves, man. But, we all know Brother Cy, man, he and Laura, they got to have their wine, man. But they were dedicated to not drinking for fucking months, bro.
I know.
And like, that was huge, man. And the results showed, right? Yep. And then Josh, just to watch his confidence level, because he struggles with that, right? He's a little guy, man. He's fucking 5'0", man. And, you know, he's competing with fucking 6-foot-something guys, man, that are fucking, and he's just sitting there fucking going toe-to-toe with them, dude.
Yep.
So it's just a beautiful fucking weekend overall, dude. I'm exhausted. I wouldn't change it for the world, dude.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to everybody who competed over the weekend at High Rocks. You guys being there and being a spectator and seeing the vibe of the place and the athletes go through it, it was very like inspiring. So congrats to everybody. And I do hope that High Rocks takes this as a learning lesson and sees some of this stuff and corrects some of these issues so that the sport itself can continue to move forward.
And to High Rocks' point, and we'll end it on this, is like, so far every mistake that High Rocks has made has been fixed.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And I'm pretty sure that they will fix. They'll take these lessons learned and continue to grow the sport the way it needs to be grown.
Yep. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in. Appreciate it. And again, congratulations to all the High Rocks athletes that are listening to this.
Keep it coming.
This has been an international podcast transmission of No Fixed Agenda presented by Bubs Naturals. Music was provided by The Poor Dirty Astronauts with lyrics written by Matt Meyer. You can rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you find your favorite podcast episodes. NFA, over and out.